Thank you, Tammy. I hope everybody at home on their computer could hear that. Welcome again, everybody. Once again, you're stuck with me, but think how much you're going to appreciate the new pastor when she gets here. All right, we'll open with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us, redeems us, and calls us by name. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you and your beloved children. We have turned our faces away from your glory when it did not appear as we expected. We have rejected your word when it made us comfort ourselves. We have failed to show hospitality to those you called us to welcome. Accept our repentance for the things we have done and the things we have left undone. For the sake of Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us and lead us, that we may bathe in the glory of your Son, born among us, and reflect your love for all creation. Amen. Rejoice in the good news. In Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are descendants of the Most High, adopted into the household of Christ, and inheritors of eternal life. Live as free and forgiven children of God. Amen. Please join me in the Apostles' Creed. With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Poor, powerful.
Thank you, Marion, Rick, Tammy, and Melody. Very nice. Let us pray. Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before you, angels and saints stand in awe. Enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world, and by your grace, make us heralds of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our first reading this fifth Sunday after Epiphany is written in Isaiah chapter 6, starting with the first verse. Through a vision in the temple, the 8th century prophet Isaiah is called by God to announce judgment against Israel. Aware of his sinfulness and shortcomings, Isaiah is initially hesitant. But when God calls, Isaiah responds, "Here I am, send me." Now hear the word. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say this to people. Keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate. Until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. Holy wisdom, holy word."
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 138, you can respond in the dark print as I read the light. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down towards
your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the groups of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly,
perceiving the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your purpose for me, O Lord. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Our second reading this morning is written in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Paul delivers, in a nutshell, the story of the gospel that was given to him. In the lineage of the Christian faith, we have received the good news of God's love from generations of believers before us, and we continue to tell this story to the world. Now, hear the word. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, who of you have seen a circus? The wonders of a circus include lions, bears, horses, magicians, acrobats, and tightrope walkers. A tightrope walker walks on a rope or cable high above the ground, maybe 60 feet or more. Sometimes they use a safety net in case they fall. But the most daring tightrope walkers do not use the net to better demonstrate their incredible sense of balance. They have a lot of faith in their own abilities. On July 23rd, 2013, a tightrope walker of the circus did something amazing outside the circus tent. Nick Walenda crossed the Grand Canyon on a cable about 2 inches thick. A walk of 400 meters, that's a little over 4 football fields long. The Grand Canyon is a colorful, steep gorge carved by the Colorado River in northern Arizona. It's about 275 miles long between mountain ranges. It's 3 to 18 miles wide and reaches depths of 1,600 feet or nearly 2 miles. Obviously, he didn't use a net. While there were eyewitnesses and video recordings of this event, and we must believe a man can cross the Grand Canyon because of the evidence. Now think about this. Is it possible for a tightrope walker to cross the Grand Canyon pushing a wheelbarrow? Maybe. If a man can walk a cable of 2 inches, perhaps he can push a wheelbarrow the same distance. But what if the tightrope walker asked you to sit in a wheelbarrow? Would you have enough faith in him to do that? It's the same with God. There is evidence for the existence of God. The Holy Scriptures testify that God has done wonders in the past. Therefore, many people think it's possible that God exists. However, as many people recognize the tightrope walker skills, but do not want to put their lives in his hands, many people do not want to put their lives in God's hands. In our text today, we read something about a meeting between Simon Peter and our Lord. It happened while he was beside the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. Luke tells us that they were pressing around Jesus. And we can imagine that with personal space measured in inches, rather than arm's length, his voice would be easily absorbed by bodies and clothing around him. So to teach the whole crowd effectively, he needed to put some space between himself and the crowd, just like the space between the pulpit and the first row of pews. To accomplish that, Jesus climbed into Simon Peter's boat and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. The choice of the boat and his presence at that particular place on the shore were not coincidences. Although it probably appeared that way to everyone else, Jesus had Peter in mind, and he led his multitude to this spot to accomplish what he was intending to do. So he climbed into the boat and had Peter put out a couple yards from shore. He sat down in the boat, the bow probably, as a teacher in those days would do, and began to teach from the boat. There was nothing random here. God doesn't do random. Every detail was part of his plan, although no one but Jesus probably was aware of how deliberate each element of this scene was. When Jesus was done with the teaching of the lesson of the day, he simply asked Peter to put out into the deep water and let down his nets for a catch. Mind you, fishing of this sort was traditionally done at night. Peter and his brothers and partners had been at it all night without a catch. It was likely quite unusual to fish all night and catch absolutely nothing. But that is what had done the last night. Peter kind of kind of complained that they had already spent the night fruitlessly, but at Jesus' request, he would put down the nets one more time. He already knew that Jesus was something special. Not only had he heard Jesus' teaching that morning, but in the previous chapter of Luke, Jesus had healed Simon's mother-in-law of a high fever, had driven out demons that cried out that Jesus was the Son of God, and had healed many people of various illnesses in the presence of Peter and possibly his brothers. Peter may not have been a full-time disciple yet, but he had seen Jesus at work, and he knew he could do amazing things. So he let down his nets. You all know what happened next, because I read it in the gospel. Notice too, Jesus did not tell Peter where to go to find the catch, just to go out to the deep water. Peter immediately enclosed in his nets a great quantity of fish. So great, in fact, that the nets began to break and Peter had to call for the guys in the other boat to come and help him. When they came out there, there were so many fish that they filled both boats with fish to the point where the boats began to sink. They were swamped with the success of fishing. It was a very profitable morning indeed. Peter recognized the truth, and he realized again that he was standing in the presence of someone who was more than just merely a man. He could see that something divine was there, and he fell down before Jesus, which actually means that he began to worship Jesus, and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter understood at some level that he was standing in the presence of the Holy God, and the first reaction he had was to become suddenly aware of his sin. Peter was beginning to learn about Jesus, who he was and what he could do and what he could accomplish. What we often do not pay attention to is the night before. I mean, why should we pay attention to the night? Jesus wasn't there yet, and nothing happened. We should pay attention because it was a singularly bad night of fishing. And yet, if it had been a good night of fishing, or even an average night of fishing, Peter and his brothers would have doubtless been less impressed with the catch Jesus gave them. The contrast between nothing and unimaginable abundance, however, makes the point that Jesus wanted to make so much more pointed. So why do you think that they caught nothing the night before? Ever thought of that? Do you think it was just coincidence? Remember, God doesn't do random. I don't want to blame God for every human endeavor that fails to accomplish something that wherever God's people are, there he is. He is with them, guiding them, blessing them, and granting them success. When we are the Lord's and we are faithful, we cannot fail. God tells us that his word never returns to him without accomplishing that for which he spoke it. When we preach it or tell it to someone else or see nothing happen, we must conclude that either God isn't doing what he spoke his word through as to accomplish, or we have witnessed what his word was intended to accomplish, at least at that moment, although we see nothing we could call success. The hours of fishing with no catch played a vital role in accomplishing the plan of God for that day, for Peter and his brothers, and for the work of Jesus. In the same way, our time spent with no visible results, our faithful worship, our confession of the Lord day by day, and our inviting one person after another who ignore our invitation, plays an important part in the plans of our Lord for us and for those among whom we live and confess the faith. It is important that we keep in mind that our salvation rests on what appeared to be defeat and failure. Jesus' enemies triumphed over him. They arrested him, humiliated him, abused him, and then executed him under false pretenses. On Good Friday, Jesus looked to be a failure. The one man in Israel who had no friends, no ability to play the system, and not even a tomb to call his own. Measured by any reasonable human standard, Jesus appeared to be a failure on Good Friday. And yet we know that Jesus scored his victory and ours in Good Friday. He accomplished precisely what he had come to do. He died, although he was innocent and actually deserved eternal life. He carried our sins instead, because he had none of his own. He paid the penalty and set us free from sin and death and hell and the power of Satan. By dying in the way that appeared so helpless and defeated, by his stripes you are healed. And because he suffered for your sins, you are forgiven. We all are. We may feel insignificant. We may judge our own efforts as futile and ineffective. It may seem to us and everyone around us that our faithfulness is foolish and pointless and inconsequential. Others may point at our congregation and say, "We told you that this congregation would never amount to anything." We are God's holy people, and as such, we cannot fail. God himself is with us to bless us and guide us and keep us. He doesn't ask us to know or to understand every moment or every detail of his plan. He calls on us to be faithful. He invites us to believe his promises, to trust in him with all our hearts, to let down the nets, even when we have spent the night fruitlessly, working and have nothing to show for it, and to remain faithful. Besides, in the middle of that long night of fishing without a catch, we cannot see what part it plays in the plan or how God is working through us. Our sickness, our pains, our sorrows, they're all parts of life. And yet because we are God's people, we not only know that we do not go through these things alone, but God has a reason for letting these tribulations come to us. And when we are faithful, we cannot fail, but we succeed and accomplish what God sent us to accomplish, or better yet, what he set out to accomplish through us. While we stand with him, we cannot and we will not fail, ever. So come and refresh yourselves at the banquet of forgiveness and life set before us this morning. And hear the voice of Jesus invite you to drop down those nets again, this time for a catch. Be faithful and do not give up hope. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your path straight. Remember, God doesn't do random. Amen.
Amen.
Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. Equip your church to proclaim the good news that we have received, the forgiveness and grace shown to us through Jesus Christ. Send us out as apostles, sharing the hope of your salvation with a waiting world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Holy are you, O God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Reveal your splendor in fiery sunsets and in deep blue twilights. Teach us to recognize you in the beauty of our natural world. God of grace, soften the hearts of rulers and governments that they perceive and tend to the needs of their people. Remove corruption and the impulse toward violence. Protect first responders and military personnel who risk their lives in service to others. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon those who look to you for hope and healing. Bless doctors, nurses, social workers, therapists, and all caregivers. Draw near to those who are scared, sick, or in pain, especially Bo, Leif, Aaron, Roxanne, Deb, Reg, Lois, Gary, Sandy, Mariah, John, Jane, and Pastor Shelley. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
The disciples received help from partners as they brought in an abundant catch of fish. So strengthen this congregation's partnerships with community organizations and ministries. Multiply our shared efforts and bring joy to our relationships. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for our ancestors in faith who boldly answered your call. By their example, give us courage to live in faith and to proclaim your mercy until the day that you gather us into your glory. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all the prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Take the time now to share God's peace to one another as best you can on your computers. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, sovereign of the universe. You offer us new beginnings and guide us on our journey. Lead us to your table, nourish us with this heavenly food, and prepare us to carry your love into a hungry world. In the name of Christ our light, amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, to whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy God
of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O holy God. You are the life and the light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations.
Blessed are you, for Jesus your Son. He is your light, shining in our darkness, and revealing to us your mercy and light.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universes will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Spirit, bless us and this meal, that refreshed with this heavenly food, we may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come to God's table. There is a place for you and enough for all.
Oh,
thanks, gracious God, for we have feasted on the abundance of your house. Send us to bring good news and to proclaim your favor to all. Strengthened with the richness of your grace, in your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Okay, do we have any announcements this morning? Anybody at home watching on Zoom? Nothing?
See,
okay.
I'll keep watching. Sometimes it takes a while.
All right. I will mention that we don't know when we're going to be able to come back. Kind of depends on the Synod. We will keep after them to see if we can come back and start worshiping here again in person.
Upcoming events are listed in the words of the week, including the Ties That Bind, which is gathering tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. Oh, it says canceled. Never mind. Sorry. Looks like Zoom meetings people can attend this week for church.
Okay, check your words of the week for any cancellations or meetings. God, who leads you in pathways of righteousness, who rejoices over you, and who calls you by name, bless are your going and out your coming in, today and forever. Amen. Into the weary world, share the good news.
Thanks
be to God.